Canto 11, Chapter 18. The Varnashrama System, the Withdrawn and the Renounced. The Supreme Lord said, "When one, in the third phase of one's life, wants to retreat into the forest, one should, in order to reside there peacefully, entrust the wife to one's sons, or else, together with her, dwell in the forest. One should arrange for the pure sustenance of the bulbs, roots, and fruits of the forest, and dress oneself with tree bark, grass, leaves, or animal skins. In the forest, one should allow the hair on one's head and body, one's facial hair and nails, to grow, as also the filth of one's body, not extensively clean one's teeth, but bathe 3 times a day, and at night sleep on the ground. Thus proceeding, one must ascetically tolerate the 5 fires during the summer, the sacrificial fires in 4 directions and the sun above, the torrents of rain during the rainy season, and the cold of winter when one is submerged in water up to one's neck. One eats what is either prepared on a fire, what has ripened by time, or what was pulverized with a mortar, with a stone or ground with one's teeth. One should personally collect whatever that is needed for one's sustenance, depending the place, the time, and one's energy, and understand that, living in the forest, one must not store anything for another time. A vanaprastha may choose for oblations of rice, barley, and dal, may offer rice cakes or offer fruits according to the season, but he may never worship me with sacrificing animals, even though it is mentioned in the scriptures. As he did before, when he was a grihastha, he should perform the fire sacrifice, the sacrifice on a new moon day and a full moon day, as also the 4 months' sacrifice of Chaturmasya that are enjoined by the Vedic experts. When he, with that ascetic practice, has worshipped me, the sage, the vanaprastha, all skin and bones from the world of the seers will achieve me, the goal of all penance. Is there a greater fool than someone who, for a long time being of this difficult but glorious penance which awards liberation, practices this penance for the purpose of trivial sense gratification? When he, in his regulated activities, due to old age, with his body trembling, is no longer able to carry on, he should place the sacrificial fire in his heart, concentrate on me, and enter the fire. But, in case full detachment from all result-minded action has developed in him, and the achievement of a higher world means nothing more to him than hell, he may give up the vanaprastha sacrificial fire and take to the renounced order. After having worshipped me according to the injunctions and having given all he has to the priest, he, the vanaprastha, must place the sacrificial fire within his life breath and, free from desires and worries, wander about as a sannyasi. The demigods, to begin with, create obstacles for him in the form of his wife and other allurements later on. These he should surpass and transcend. If a sage wishes to wear clothes, he uses another cloth to cover his loincloth or a kaupina. All the rest he gives up, besides a water pot and a staff, accepting nothing else without necessity. He should place his foot on a clear place, free from living beings, clear the water he wants to drink with his cloth, speak the truth in clear terms, and engage in action with a clear mind. Saying little, reserve and breath control constitute the strict disciplines for the voice, the body, and the mind. He with whom these are not found, my dearest, can, despite his bamboo rods, never be considered a real sannyasi. When he goes begging with the 4 varnas, he should at random approach 7 different houses, avoid impure, sinful, polluted households, and be satisfied with whatever he acquired. He next, somewhere outside, has to go to a reservoir of water, wash himself, and then, without saying a word, distribute the food that was begged and purified. Thereafter, he should eat the food that remained in its entirety. He should move about alone on this earth, free from attachment, with his senses fully under control, and, satisfied and amused with the true self, steady on the spiritual platform, be of an equal vision. In a remote and safe place, the sage, with his consciousness purified by his love for me, should concentrate on the soul only as being non-different from me. By focusing in knowledge, he must gain insight in the bound and liberated state of the self. He is bound when the senses are distracted, and he is liberated when he has them under control, when he, devoted to me, concentrates, meditates, and gets absorbed. The sage, with his six senses, the five physical senses and the mind, fully under control, being conscious of me, having experienced the greater happiness of the soul, therefore should live detached from futile material desires. He should travel to the pure places on earth with rivers, mountains and forests. The cities, towns and pasturing grounds he should enter only to beg for alms from those working for material purposes. He, in the withdrawn position of life, should always go for alms, for by food thus obtained by begging and not by performing fruitful labor, karma, he is freed from illusion and quickly achieves spiritual perfection. He should never take the perishable things he sees with his eyes for the ultimate reality. With a consciousness free from attachment, he should turn away from all designs for material progress in this life or a future existence. Fixed in his true self, he should no longer keep the universe in mind, and thus arguing, as previously, forsake all that illusory energy that in the self binds together mind, speech, and vital air. Whether he, in detachment, is devoted to knowledge, or, as my devotee, not even desires liberation, he ultimately should abandon the ashrama duties and their rituals, and move beyond the range of rules and regulations. Despite his intelligence, he, the detached soul, a sannyasi, should play like a child. Despite his expertise, he should act as if incompetent. Despite his learning, he should speak like being absent-minded. And despite his knowing the injunctions, he should behave in an unrestricted manner, wander as a cow. He should never attach to the Karmakanda Vedic philosophy of sacrificing for the sake of return, nor should he erratically oppose it. He should refrain from skepticism and empty talk, nor take sides in political arguments. Someone wise should never feel disturbed by other people, nor should he disturb others. He should tolerate harsh words, never treat anyone with disrespect, and never, like an animal to the interest of the body, with anyone, create hostility. The One Supreme Soul is situated within all living beings as also within one's own body. Just like the one moon is reflected in different reservoirs of water, all material bodies are composed of the energy of the One Lord. He, the sannyasi, should not feel dejected when there is no or no proper food, nor should he rejoice at times when there is plenty of food. He should be firmly fixed in the notion that both matters of plenty and scarcity are determined by fate, by the Lord. He should endeavor to eat and sustain his personal life force properly, for by that strength he contemplates the spiritual truth that, being understood, leads to liberation. The food he happened to obtain, he must eat, whether it is first class or of a low quality. Similarly, the clothes and place to sleep must by a sage be accepted the way they came of their own accord. General cleanliness, washing the hands, taking a bath and other regular duties are to be performed without any compulsion by a person of spiritual realization, just as free as I, the controller, act according to the game I play. For him, the perception of things as existing separate from me is over. For having me in view, such a perception is destroyed. Sometimes such a notion lingers till the body dies, but he will attain me then. He who has no notion of my dharma, but in his desire for spiritual perfection, developed detachment from the lusty sense enjoyment that leads to unhappiness, should approach a wise, bona fide spiritual master of proper reverence, a guru. The devotee should serve the spiritual master who embodies me with great faith, without envy and offenses, for as long as it takes to arrive at a clear realization of the absolute truth. He, though, who is not in control of the six forms of vice, the anarthas, who allows the charioteer of the body to be led by the senses, is bereft of knowledge and detachment, and just wants to subsist on and not learn from the three-stick staff, denies me, himself, and the divine personalities within himself, and harms the Dharma. Not having overcome the contamination of this world, he will also be lost and abandoned in the world hereafter. Nonviolence and equanimity constitutes the Dharma of a mendicant, a sannyasi. Discrimination between body and soul and penance constitutes the Dharma of someone living in the forest, a vanaprastha. Protecting all living beings and performing sacrifices constitutes the Dharma of a householder, a grihastha. And serving the teacher of example, the acharya, constitutes the Dharma of a celibate student, a brahmachari. Of all those who worship me with celibacy, austerity, cleanliness, contentment, and being friendly towards all living entities, it is the householder who may approach his wife for intercourse at the proper time. Someone who thus, according to his dharma, worships me, who is not devoted to anything else and understands me to be present in all living entities, will obtain unflinching devotional service unto me. O Uddhava, he will come to me by bhakti, by loving service unto me, the Supreme Lord of all worlds, the absolute truth and cause, the origin and dissolution of everything. When one thus, by one's dharma, has purified one's existence, fully understands my supreme position, and is endowed with spiritual knowledge and wisdom, one will very soon reach me. The followers of the Varnashrama Dharma are characterized by this traditional code of conduct. This sense of duty, combined with my bhakti, awards the highest perfection of life. O saintly soul, this what I describe to you on your request constitutes the means by which one, as a devotee, can be perfectly engaged in one's duty and thus come to me, the One Supreme.